This is Jerry Carrier with the Lawrenceburg Library Genealogy Department. It's February 13th, 2014, and today we're going to talk to Tom Cook, a lifelong resident of Lawrenceburg and Beamer County, about his experiences in World War II. And so, Tom, I'm just going to feed you some questions, and you can give me the, fill in the blanks, so to speak. So, I see that, where were you when at the beginning of World War II? Were you still in high school or just out of high school?
A few months out of high school.
And did the draft started by then?
Oh, yeah.
So what did you do in anticipation of the draft? Did you just...
Worked at St. James in the mail room, just waiting to be drafted.
Okay, and how long did that process take?
Oh, a few months.
From the end of high school to the time you were drafted?
Yeah.
So you went in at what age?
18. Yeah.
Okay. Now, where did you do your basic training?
I went up to Indianapolis, and from there I went to Camp Taos, Texas.
All right. Now, were you, any of your classmates get drafted at the same time, or?
There were a number of people from Lawrenceburg that, Sam Frankel and Ray Tibbetts, and there were two or three others that were drafted at the same time, and we went to Texas.
Okay. Was there any reason you went to Texas? I mean, was it just that luck of the draw, or?
On my physical, I qualified for Army, Navy, and Marines. They gave me my choice, so I took the Army, which was because my dad had been in the Army.
Okay. Yeah. Your dad had been in World War One?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the reason I chose the Army
over
the other branches of service.
Okay. So what kind of, what was it you went to? Where, Camp Howes in Texas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then from there to Camp Barkley in Texas.
Now, did you do, was it infantry basic training, or?
Basic training. Everyone took the same basic training.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long was that?
Oh, not long.
8 weeks, 16 weeks?
6 or 8 weeks, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what, after that was over, what did you do?
Then I was assigned to the medical corps, and I guess that was at Camp Howes, and then went through, and I can't remember how long that training was, but they said I qualified for the Army Specialized Training Program, ASTP, and they said that's fine, I'd like to do that, so they sent me to Stillwater, Oklahoma, which is Oklahoma A&M, but it's now Oklahoma University.
Okay.
And then I spent couple semesters there, and they came down with the fact that they needed more troops in Europe, and they didn't need them in the schools, so they closed our school down and sent us all to infantry. what a surprise.
Yes.
Campus too.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So you were going to be a medic, basically. That's what they're training you for. Then he shut it down, was that?
No, that was to be in the engineers. We were to be commissioned. Second Lieutenant completed that course. That
Okay. It was like an officer's candidate program.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they shut it down.
They just closed the campus. Sent us all overseas.
Oh, my goodness. Now,
that's when I went with the 103rd Infantry Division.
Okay. So, did you rotate with that division over...
Went overseas with that division.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Was it you were on a troop ship over?
Yes.
What time of year did you?
It was in the, it took 15 days to go over, I remember that.
Okay.
And it only took 10 to come home. I came home on a hospital ship. That
okay, all right.
A little more desirable.
Right, right. So where did you land when you got to?
Marseille, France.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Marseille.
And were you, what was, were you, infantry platoon? Is that
yeah.
You were, you were a gut ground soldier? Yeah.
H company.
Okay.
Weapons company, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, having been to Army bases, I know a little bit about where you, but you were at the platoon level.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Second platoon.
Okay. And so, what was your first role in the combat that you ran into as once you got there?
I was a machine gunner.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, did they move you right into action, or what were your...
Well, with a weapons company, you would, the motor folks or the machine gun people would go with a rifle company in the platoon, in the regiment.
Right.
And so I would be assigned to a rifle company. And then I'd want some folks to, when I had the big end, I want some of you boys to help me out here. Well, with some support here. Oh, we don't want to be near you. You draw fire. Well, that was you guys. When you want some backup, don't call on me. And so that was, and then we went through the Vosges Mountains between France and Germany.
All right.
And then when the Battle of Vosges went into effect, then we pulled up to back up those folks.
Okay. So this, you were, now the Battle of Vosges is in the middle of winter, right?
Right.
So you were in bad weather.
Snow on the ground, yes.
Right. And
yep.
So how long were you in combat there in Battle of Vosges?
Probably four and a half months.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at any time, did you get any replacements, relief, or anything? You were, but you were pretty much online all the time during that period of time.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I noticed here that the Battle of the Bulge was a significant point in World War II with the Germans, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I really wasn't. You never knew what was going on. You had your own little
right.
Group that you were with and the rest of it did. But I read the Stars and Stripes and you get word back down the line of some of the things that were going on. But the Battle of Bulge was not, I was not much aware of it.
Okay.
Until after so long.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you were, did you, did you take prisoners at all? Were you involved in any of that?
Yeah, I went. Did a lot of traveling at night.
Okay.
So one night the line was moving along, and I heard somebody say, "Was ist das?" Well, it was a German that was lost. It came up to me. Well, I'm, other than the machine gun, I had a 45 on me, so I pulled that out and put it on him and took him a prisoner. But the problem was, what do you do with prisoners?
Right.
But then going back to those guys, well, he hadn't gone 10 feet and I, boom, somebody shot him.
Oh.
He said, well, he tried to escape. Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
anyhow, that it took care of that prisoner.
Okay.
Yeah. But some of them that we took prisoners, we were, but that was in the daytime when you could see them being taken back from the front
okay.
line. Yeah.
Now, were you going to one village after another, and
yeah. Most of the time was in the forest, though, in the Vosges Mountains.
All right.
And the Germans transported food equipment by horse. So the word came back to us, don't worry about the Germans shoot the horses.
Oh, okay.
Stop the procession of the...
Okay. Now, were these in German infantry you were in combat with? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
They had superb mortars and artillery guns.
Okay.
88 was a very good weapon that they had. It was anti-tank, anti-personnel, and anti-aircraft.
Okay.
Good equipment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, so when did the... I noticed in your little biography here that they wrote up about you had a frostbitten. How did that come about,
actually,
Tom?
Actually, it was trench foot.
Okay.
And got my feet wet, no dry socks to change,
right.
Boots to change to, and after 3 or 4 days, I could tell they were swelling because the boots were tight.
Uh-huh.
And just kept hurting more and more each day. So finally, I just couldn't walk anymore. I just fell over to the side, and that's when they hauled me back to the... And I was in the hospital for 6 months from the day I left to the day I was discharged from service.
Okay.
Yeah.
The trench foot, what do you do for it to treat it? Your circulation is non-existent. Is that what's part of the problem? I mean,
your feet turn white and painful. And then when you get your boots off after a few days went by and they were wet and still on the feet, then my feet would turn black and they'd swell and the skin would swell off. And
okay.
Kind of a mess.
So you couldn't walk, basically.
Correct. Right.
Now, were there a lot of men that had the same condition?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of them. They lost toes and feet.
Okay.
I was fortunate I didn't.
So they would have to amputate if it got too bad?
Yeah. When in, I guess where I saw most of that was in San Antonio, Brooke General Hospital. And they see a lot of guys running around. Toes off, and then you have to learn to walk all over again, especially if you take your big toe off.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Okay.
So they, I spent 6 months in hospitals in France and England and the United States as a result of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, when you got back to where did you go after you got back to the United States from?
Brooke General Hospital, San Antonio.
Okay. And how long were you?
All together, hospitals in France, England, and the United States, 6 months.
Okay, all right.
And I was discharged from the service in the hospital same day.
Okay. And what condition were your feet in when you were discharged?
I was on a cane.
Okay.
And, initially on crutches, but then graduated to canes. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you have lingering after effects from
this day? I have trouble with my feet, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, you were, is that considered a wounded, is that in the definition of combat? I mean, is that an injury or a battle-related condition? Or?
I can't remember how they termed that. I can't remember.
I mean, you were hurt, disabled.
Disabled, yeah.
Yes, and
50% disabled according to the disability chart.
Okay, all right.
When I was discharged.
Okay, so what was your rank when you were discharged?
Oh, I was always a private first class.
You never got above?
No.
Really?
Right.
I thought I was the only person. I was drafted. It's a funny story, and it took a. I was an E2 eligible for PFC, and it took an act of Congress that said anyone who had been in the service for 15 months and had not made PFC and clean right, you made it. So that's how I'm, it took an act of Congress for me to make PF. And rank was not an issue with me, so but you either.
No,
so
no,
anyway.
Either.
So Tom, what, after you were released from the service, you came back, how were things back in the United States for you when you came back from the war?
Well,
I mean, how did things seem relatively to when you left? I mean, was it an adjustment for you at all to get used to being a civilian? And
yeah, loud noises would scare you.
Okay.
And I remember we built a house, and still there's a lingering problem there. Where am I going to set up my gun in place that's around the house?
Okay, all right, yeah.
And that was a residual of the war.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So how long did that stick with you?
Several years.
Did it? Okay.
Several years. The loud noises were a problem, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that brought back a lot of memories,
yeah,
I guess.
That's right, because I remember one time we were going down through a hollow, and you didn't worry about the shell that was coming from afar. You could hear it a long way off.
Okay.
But the one that was boom.
Okay.
In your ears. And I hit the edge of the hollow, and I, damn, that was close. Kind of wiped my hands over the face, and hand was covered with blood. Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
I'm feeling from the nose and the
right,
ears.
Right, right.
And my chin. And finally, I found a piece of shrapnel that sliced under my nose, and that's where all the blood's coming from.
Okay, all right.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, Tom, tell me that part about when they were evacuating you on the litter on the Jeep. What,
yeah.
What, repeat that to me. That was kind of interesting.
Well, I took two of us back from the line, and the guy that was lying on the litter with me had been shot or hit or had some casualty involved with this. He had blood all over him, and so rolling around on that Jeep from side to side, I had blood all over me,
uh-huh,
his blood on me. And they just couldn't believe it when I told them I had not been hit.
Uh-huh.
Well, you just don't realize it yet.
Okay.
Oh, I wasn't hit. It my feet. I couldn't walk.
Okay.
It was all over.
All right.
So that was, finally they were convinced of that when they got blood. They took my boots off and took those off. My feet became swollen and skin turned black. And just,
did you have any friend, buddies, so to speak, that you were with during this time in World War II that you'd ever had contact with again since the war was over?
No, not really.
Okay, all right.
Most of them were dead.
Okay, what was the mortality rate for your unit in combat? How many people were you losing?
I remember that there was a sergeant that lost his gun crew. She came to me and said, Tom, I'll carry ammunition for you. And when I left, he took over my machine gun. And the next day, he was up under a tree, and a shell burst hit the tree and killed him. So,
oh, boy.
So, and the way I got that information from the guys coming back through the hospitals. And,
okay.
You know, we talk on that.
Right. And what kind of machine gun were you handling?
Water-cooled 30 caliber.
Okay. And that took two of you to do that?
One carried a receiver. I usually carried a receiver because I could rotate from shoulder to shoulder. The other guy carried the tripod.
Okay.
Two legs down and one in back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were a target then, I guess.
Oh, yes. See.
I mean, yeah.
Get that machine gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I know one time I got so thirsty, couldn't get water to us, and you get kind of crazy when you get thirsty. So I unscrewed the tube of the it's not a faucet, but a drain tube from under the barrel of the machine gun and fill the canteen cup. Rust and iron were floating from it. Best drink I ever had.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You don't think of that, but in combat, where you just can't take a break to get some water, can you? No, no.
That's right, yeah.
Now, when you're in a machine gun, what kind of placement would you try to put your machine gun?
Well, you dig a hole and set it up in a elevated position, like a pitcher's mound.
Okay.
Try to have it up so you can, and you try to get so you could have it wide field vision there that you could cover.
Okay. Now, would you provide cover for the advancing troops?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you would kind of clear the area for them so they could advance? Was that the idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, were there spotters? How did some get back to you or point out where you need to lay fire or?
A radio man would do that.
Okay, all right.
And trying to think of other ways we would get messages, but often it was passed down word by word from one person to another.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, when you got back and discharged and so forth, returned home. Were there any of your friends from school, high school, or anything that were killed in World War II that were friends of yours that didn't make it home at all? Or
Bill Dennis, great basketball player, was one. He was a paratrooper.
Okay.
He was killed, and there were others that I can't bring up their names right now.
Okay.
That were thought they were going to win the war on their own by letting me go in with them. I'm not jumping out of any damn plane. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, right. That's asking for it, isn't it?
That's right. I'm not joining the paratroopers.
No, no. And I had one experience like that. They, in basic training, they pulled out of our company. There was maybe 100 of us. They took us off to an auditorium. Didn't say why. Just said, march over to the sat down, and up on the platform is a airborne master sergeant in all his regalia.
Oh, yeah.
He said, gentlemen, you are qualified to be airborne.
You bet.
And you're going to make an extra $35 a month to jump. I didn't take him up on the $35 a week. So anyway, but needless to say, that wasn't for me either. So anyway, upon your return, now where did Gene Pribble figure in all this time? Were you and Gene dating before you went in the service?
No.
You met after, got together after the service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you went off to Indiana University, and what was that like at Indiana University with a lot of returning veterans?
It's great. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed school very much.
Okay. All right.
Joined the fraternity.
And what fraternity were you in?
The Delta Upsilon.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's a good fraternity.
It was all great. I enjoyed school very much.
Okay.
The only problem was going continuously. Remember, school was open, I had to be in because I was under the disability law. And I got more money than the regular GIs did.
Oh, okay. But it required that you go
and
year round.
School was going, yes. I had to be in.
Oh, okay. In order to qualify for the.
And I graduated at the end of my third summer school.
Okay.
I was ready for school to be over.
Okay.
I needed a job. I needed to start making a little money.
Okay. All right. Well, with the climb. climate there with all the returning GIs is probably a lot different than it is now. So.
I'm sure it is.
Okay. Well, Tom, you had an outstanding career in the military, and thank you for the time. And
Sure.
We're going to transcribe this, and it'll be on the archives in the genealogy department of the library. And
great.
So thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
Tom, man, you know, I wonder if I can get a